there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Volume.
It's Boxing with Chris Mannix, presented by FanDuel. Football season is underway. Basketball is right around the corner, and there is no better place to get in on that action than FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use. FanDuel always has exclusive offers. When you win, you'll get paid fast. FanDuel has a lot of ways to play, like the spread, money line, over-unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. Jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting. Combine multiple bets from the same game in a same game parlay and try out the same game parlay plus. So use the promo code BOXING and download the FanDuel app today to make every moment more during this football season. And get ready, NBA season is right around the corner.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
And we are back. Boxing with Chris Mannix, part of the Volume Sports Podcast Network. This is not an emergency podcast, but it kind of feels like an emergency podcast. That's because the boxing landscape shifted on Wednesday of this week. Before Wednesday, the biggest storyline in boxing was Conor Benn versus Chris Eubank Jr., a family feud taken to the next generation. Two rivals facing off with history behind them. You've got the son of Nigel Benn, the son of Chris Eubank Jr., two fighters that fought two excellent fights in the early 1990s. They were set to square off on Saturday as that rivalry passed on to another generation. It was supposed to be a huge event. O2 Arena in London was sold out. Eddie Hearn, the promoter, was talking about the fight doing over a million pay-per-view buys. Everyone was excited about it. We were going to talk about it, break it down from every angle. And then, on Wednesday, everything changed. Conor Benn, he tested positive for clomiphene, which is a banned substance known to increase testosterone levels in men. On Thursday, you had the British Boxing Board of Control announcing that they would not sanction this fight, that they would, in fact, prohibit this fight from happening. And then, late on Thursday, you had the news that this fight was going to be postponed. So now it is a totally different story. It is all about Conor Benn, what happened, and the future of Conor Benn. So I want to bring in a couple of guys that I'm sure will have unique perspectives on this. Adi Oladipo is a longtime broadcaster, part of the DAZN broadcast team over in the UK as well. He's had his boots on the ground all week long, been covering this event and the subsequent fallout, backwards and forwards. He joins me. Sergio Mora, former junior middleweight champion, DAZN broadcaster, good friend of the podcast. He is here as well. And Adi, I want to start with you. You've been there all week long. You've watched this whole fiasco unfold over the last couple of days. Take us inside what's been going on over in the UK this week?
It's been crazy. It really has been. It's the mood has changed. It started as surprise, if I'm honest with you, just because the build up for the last month has been fantastic, right? It's really captured the public's imagination. I think as a sport, boxing always seems to struggle against, I guess, in America, you know, American football and basketball and baseball. And over here, it struggles to compete against football, soccer. So when it does compete, you jump on the bandwagon. And a lot of people have jumped on the bandwagon just because of obviously the name, and you guys will understand the history between the fathers, and everyone's been really excited. So it started as a surprise, like, what? This must be a joke, to anger. Like, how has this happened? Until, I guess, where we are today, which is just disappointment. Like, disappointment that the fight's now off, which I think is right. I guess we'll touch on that. But also disappointment for the undercard fighters. And Sergio will understand this. Guys that are not going to get paid. Guys and girls, sorry, that are not going to get paid, that have spent thousands on camps. And I guess contractually, and I spoke to a few of them, if they don't weigh in, they don't get paid. These are guys and girls that don't have big sponsors, that sort of live paycheck to paycheck when it comes to boxing, and they're extremely upset. I spoke to Chris Eubanks' promoter, Kelly Sowland, today, and he was as angry as you can be, if I'm honest with you, just because this fight generates a lot of money for them. Not only does it generate a lot of money, it generates a lot of interest, and that's what they're trying to do with Chris Eubanks Jr. So everyone's upset. There's a number of different broadcasters who've, you know, sort of committed to the fight, and they're very upset. And again, everyone's just angry here, Chris, because this is the fight we were looking forward to. In terms of sort of the magnitude of it, it sold out the O2 Arena, which is the 20,000 seater arena here, in minutes. Gone, tickets gone. Big name superstars from the world of entertainment were going to be ringside. This was it. This was DAZN's first pay-per-view event in the UK with Matrim. Obviously, they've done the KSI one, but with Matrim. So everything was all systems go. And for it to be pulled 2 days before that is just a disappointment for everyone.
Sergio, what was your reaction to Conor Benn's positive test?
It was terrible. I was disappointed because I think the world of Conor Benn, we talk about, you know, how great of a star, you know, he's going to be, the potential he has, his recent knockout victories, every performance is getting better and better and better. And he has the looks, and he has the ability. He has the charisma, which is something you can't teach. And he just looks good on camera, and he looks good knocking guys out. But this is just a bad look on him and his reputation, because you can't just dust this off. The thing about cheating is, you know, it's always going to be that scarlet letter. It's always going to be branded, that your name's always going to be attached to it. No matter how great you become from here on, there's always going to be critics that say, yeah, but he tested, you know, positive for so-and-so in 2022. There's always going to be a suspicion. So just like when any criminal does anything wrong, there's always going to have that record. It's always going to be on his record. It's always going to have that blemish. And sadly to say, no matter where Conor Benn goes from here, whether he donates money, whether he comes back and does VADA testing for all his tests and apologizes to the fan, this is all he can do. But he's still going to have that stigma of, man, you cheated. You cheated us on a big night where it should have been historic, and we just didn't get it. And the closer it gets to the fight, like Ade was talking about, the worse it hurts. I've been there before. I had two championship fights canceled the week of the fight, and it tears you up, Mannix. I can't even imagine what the undercard fighters are doing, feeling as well, especially if they have to travel abroad. It's a disaster for everybody, all because of a lie, all because a fighter decided to take a shortcut. And in boxing, there is no fucking shortcuts, man. I can cuss here, so I'm pissed off.
Adi, I want to unpack something with you, because this was a positive test that was reported in the Daily Mail. That came out on Wednesday over in the UK. But this was not a test that was reported in real time. It didn't happen this week. It happened, according to Kelly Sowland, the co-promoter of this event, in late August or early September. And after it happened, the two sides were notified by VADA, which is required to notify both sides when there is a positive test. So it strikes me that if the Daily Mail doesn't report this, that this fight would be happening on Saturday, because both sides were told about the test. Both sides discussed it. They elected to move forward with it. Chris Eubank Jr. said he would continue on with the fight. It just seems like if the Daily Mail doesn't report this story, then the fight happens and maybe we never find out about the positive test of Conor Benn. Is that how you interpret this?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I mean, for someone that sort of works on the broadcast, I feel like my position, it's been very difficult in the last couple of days because, look, obviously we all work for DAZN. I report on the fights for Matchroom, and I've been in a difficult position where I'm like, one second, okay, let's understand this and unpack it. Chris Eubanks Sr., Chris Eubanks' dad, has been sort of away from this event. And like, every time I spoke to Chris Eubanks Jr., I've said, like, you know, where's your father? What's going on? Because Nigel Benn has been with Conor Benn in camp. And he's like, well, you know, my dad has not really wanted to get involved. And a couple of days ago, Chris Eubanks Sr. spoke to a former fighter called Spencer Fearon that works for another broadcaster. And he said, boycott the event. And I was like, well, what's going on? Like, boycott the event. And I initially thought he was talking about the weight cut. I was like, okay, look, you know, I get it. The weight cut's a tough cut, but come on, let's calm down a bit. He clearly knew about this from a month ago. And he was clearly not wanting to be a part of what he called a circus act. And he's not been wanting to be a part of it for a month. For whatever reason, he couldn't explain why, whether that be an NDA or whatever, but it was obviously about this. So they've clearly known about this. And I think that's what has really angered a lot of people. I mean, they've gone on TV to try and promote it. They've done a red carpet event. Well, whilst they've been doing all this behind the scenes, there's been a failed drug test. And I think, look, Eddie's one of the greatest speakers in the world, but I think Eddie, Kelly from Wasserman Boxing, Connor and Chris are going to have to answer a lot of tough questions now that we know about this in the next couple of days, because I think personally that's, now I know we're allowed to swear, I think that's a fucking disgrace. I think it's a disgrace that Vada have flagged someone and everyone's just tried to sweep this under the carpet. And I think, look, boxing, and look, we all cover the sport. It's, you know, we always try to defend the sport, but this is indefensible. Someone has popped for something and you guys just tried to continue an event. And I get it. It's a big money event and everyone wants to get paid, but to continue like nothing has happened. And for the Daily Mail paper to come and report it, if the Daily Mail didn't report this, we would have had a fight on Saturday and no one would have known that a fighter have tested positive for something that's on the ban list.
Sergio, this is not the first time that a promoter has tried to plow ahead with an event after a positive test. I was in New York back in 2012 when Danny Garcia fought Eric Morales after Morales tested positive for a banned substance. More recently, we had Oscar Valdez's title defense. That went ahead against Ropes and Conceição after Valdez tested positive for a banned sub. So this happens. But as a fighter, do you have a problem with a promoter kind of pushing ahead with an event like this? Because what Conor Benn took is a PED. It is a performance enhancer. This drug for men is a testosterone booster. For women, it is a fertility drug. For men, it has no medical application. Let me repeat that. It has no medical application. It is a testosterone booster that bodybuilders have used in the past, that some MMA stars have used in the past. So he was taking something to give him an extra benefit going into this fight. So as a fighter, how do you feel about a promoter trying to go forward with an event like this after a positive test?
Well, it's a slippery slope here, Mannix, because look, I can only speak as a fighter. I can tell you how a fighter feels. Now you're talking about, you know, these are different shoes to fill. I don't know how a promoter is supposed to feel.
How do you feel?
I'm going to get to that. A promoter, you got to understand, you know, he needs to do whatever it takes to save the show. You know, they have their own, you know, struggles. and they have their own morals and own scruples, but they got to put on a show. And they're known to have bad reputations. Look at Don King had a bad reputation for a long time. Bob Arum, everyone has a lot of bad things to say about a lot of promoters, but they have a job to do, and that's to put on a show no matter what, as long as it all clears with the commission. So I get what they're doing. As a fighter, I could tell you right now, if I was the opponent, if I was Chris Eubanks, the opponent, I would still want to fight. I didn't want to throw away a camp and all the money I spent in a camp with the sparring partners, all the time that I sacrificed with my family, getting down to a weight that I'm not comfortable in. All these things aren't going to go out the window just because of a failed drug test. I would have said, fuck it, bring it on, let's go. It would have been similar to like when Oscar De La Hoya fought Fernando Vargas. Yeah. Fernando Vargas popped positive, and Oscar De La Hoya, it was poetic justice, beat the shit out of him. Not only did he beat the hell out of a drug user and a cheat, but he beat the hell out of him knowing that he was all ripped up. We never seen Fernando Vargas that ripped. He looked like Hunter Ben. He looks on his Instagram videos. But it as a fighter, I can tell you it all comes down to what type of person you're dealing with. If it would have been me, I would have said, I don't care, man. Let's go. Just, you know, give me 20% of your purse. Let's get it on. Somehow, some way, let the show go on, because, you know, it's still a big fight. A lot of people are going to be disappointed. Yes, I'm bending my morals, but I'm still going to get the chance to kick the shit out of this cheater. So, you know, it could be poetic justice, and I could still get paid.
I get that perspective. I respect that perspective. As a fighter, you want to get paid for the work you put in. You do 2 months of a hard camp. You want to find a way to make the fight happen. You can get that money into your pocket. But Ade, a promoter's got to be more responsible, doesn't he? A promoter has to be looking out for the health of these fighters. I mean, Conor Benn isn't just beating guys. He's beating guys viciously. The Chris Algieri knockout, the Chris Van Heerden knockout. Can you imagine if this fight went forward and Conor Benn badly hurt Chris Eubank, like did something to him that had a long-term effect, and then it was reported after the fact that they knew that Conor Benn had tested positive for a banned substance. That's the kind of thing that people could go to jail for. It's that serious. So promoters, like, it just feels like a big risk for them to take. I know there's a lot of money on the line. I know there's a lot at stake, but when you have a guy that tests positive for something like this, it just feels like too big a risk to move forward with an event.
Yeah, it is. And this is why it needs to be out of the hands of the promoters and the fighters, because the promoters, as Sergio said, they're in it for, and look, some might say rightly so, to make it as much money as possible for A, the broadcasters themselves and the fighters. For the fighters, like Sergio said, you've had in Chris Eubank's case, a 2-month camp. You want to get paid. We're hearing a fee of around maybe £3.5 million for Chris Eubank Jr. I want that money. I want that money. I signed on the dotted line. Pay me, because I've done everything I could do. This is where the governing body, so the British Boxing Board of Control, need to take sort of a step in and say, okay, look, we have found that there was an adverse finding. We're calling this off. So we're not leaving it to the hands of Eddie Hearn, Matchroom, DAZN, Wasserman Boxing, the fighters. We're doing it as the governing body, and we're saying no. And they didn't. Obviously, they have subsequently, this is only a couple of days ago, but they would have known about that adverse finding when Wasserman and Matchroom found out, which we're hearing now is about a month ago. They should have been the ones that kind of put their foot forward and said, okay, look, the fight's off. Because you're right, the promoters aren't going to do it. And in a horrible world, I understand why. And the fighters aren't going to do it. The fighters just want to fight. I mean, we've, you know, Sergio spoke about the situation with Vargas and Oscar De La Hoya. You also remember the Antonio Margarito Shane Mosley thing when they found him to have plastered Paris in his hands, but it still went ahead because fighters want to fight. So British Boxing Board of Control needed to step in and just handle this situation better, and they didn't. They handled it awfully. And they need to be kind of held up in court as well, if you like, because the way in which they've dealt with this situation the last sort of month now has been ridiculous.
Adi, I want to follow up on something. You mentioned that Conor Benn is going to have to answer some tough questions over the next few weeks. The toughest, or at least the most significant one, is how this substance got into his system. What I found interesting this week is that you did not hear an explanation from either Eddie Hearn or Connor Bent. And that's interesting because, again, this was a test result that they have known about for several weeks now. And you would think that over the course of a few weeks, they would have tried to find out what it was, or at least have come up with something that might be believable in the event something like this happened. But you didn't get that. And Connor Benn's going to have to explain it because this is a serious substance. To my knowledge, and I admit I'm not a nutritionist or a doctor, whatever, but my internet research and what I'm reading from other experts suggests that this is the kind of substance that only gets into your system in some kind of pill form. So the usual excuses, the tainted meat, the tainted herbal tea, the lace supplement, all the things that you often hear from fighters who test positive for a banned substance, it's going to be tough to sell that if you're Connor Benn. And that's going to be something he's going to have to sell to the public. If he's going to restore his reputation, he's going to have to come up with something believable, isn't he?
Yeah, and you know what's scary is that you mentioned a few sort of statements he could throw out there. He's not used any of those. And I'm like, well, and I said this, like I'm a big fan of Connor Benn. I think Sergio Mora mentioned it at the top. Like, I'm a big fan of his dad, and just almost because of that, I'm a big fan of Connor Benn. I've had him here in my studio. I've spoke to him sort of outside of boxing on numerous occasions, and it's been difficult for me, but I've said Connor Benn needs to come out and say something, not a written statement, which is obviously written by a lawyer or someone. He needs to come out and say how that got into his system. We need to, whether or not we believe it or understand it, he needs to do it. The idea of just sort of going home, shutting the door and closing the curtains isn't going to work here, because a lot of people have spent a lot of money, not just buying tickets, what you're going to get a refund for, but traveling abroad to watch this fight. I know people that have booked hotels. They're not getting that money back. There's fans of Conor Benn that have bought his merchandise. You need to come out and say what's going on. The idea of just sort of hiding, and that's kind of what he's doing here, hiding behind social media, isn't going to work. You've spent a long time building up this fantastic reputation and becoming this new star of boxing. That's all crumbling beneath you right now, unless you come out and say something. And I think sometimes silence is the worst thing. The fact you're not saying anything almost is a sign of guilt. The fact that you can't think of something to say is a problem. And I know you mentioned Eddie Hearn. This isn't an Eddie Hearn issue. Eddie Hearn's the promoter. There's Conor Benn's got his own team. I've sort of been to all of Conor Benn's fights, and there's a team of about 20 that wear Conor Benn tracksuits. Someone from that team has got to say something. It's all well and good when Conor's winning and you're wearing the nice Conor Benn bling tracksuits. Now, what about now? Now there's a problem. One of you in that team have to come out and say something. If you don't, then as Sergio said, your name's in the mud. Your name's in the mud forever. I mean, the biggest star in boxing, Canelo, still struggles to kind of find his way out of that clenbuterol issue 3 years ago. Sorry, 2 years ago. It doesn't escape you. And Conor's not as big as Canelo. So unless Conor releases a statement in the next, and I'm talking a video statement, not a stupid Twitter statement, unless he releases them 48 hours, there's going to be big problems ahead. Big, big problems.
Hey, two things I want to touch on that. No, hold on, Chris. Two things I want to touch on that, Eddie. I mean, as always, you articulately nailed it right on the money. And the clenbuterol, however you say that, Canelo was found with in that tainted meat. Slight traces of that is still allowed, you know, in the PED testing. But slight testing of this drug, this fertility drug, that's not allowed. Mm. So, you know, you can actually maybe, you know, not sweep it under the rug, but explain a slight trace of something.
Yeah.
But this you cannot. That's one. And two, yes, I agree with you. He has to come out and say something. Wouldn't it be something amazing if he can be the first athlete in any sport to come out and say, yeah, I did it. Not hide behind anything. Say, you know what? I attempted a cheat. I'm a young man. I'm ambitious. I want the world. It was something stupid. Can you imagine you know, all the hate he would get, of course, but then all the respect he would, he'll get my respect. He would get my respect if he said, you know what, this kid, this young man, manned up and admitted something that 99.9, 100% of fighters and athletes have never done. Not one fighter has ever come out and said, you know what, yeah, man, I try to cheat. Conor Benn could be the first, and I think he can man up and get some kind of dignity back if he can actually do that, but he won't.
But Sergio, do you believe that he would get his dignity back? I mean, look, I grew up in Boston, and I can remember back in 2007 when Rodney Harrison was playing for the Patriots, and Rodney Harrison admitted to taking human growth hormone because he wanted to accelerate the healing process in his leg. He had a leg issue that he was going through, and he took a 4-game suspension for it, but he said it was worth it because he was trying to heal his body. This was going to give him the best shot to do it. That's where admission makes some sense. But in boxing, like, this is serious. This is life or death stuff. If Conor Benn comes out and says, yeah, I took it to give me an edge, I don't think people are going to be in a rush to forgive him. I don't think he's going to gain any of his dignity back. It might even make people angrier because he's be admitted to taking something that could be used, could be weaponized, really, in a way. The other thing when it comes to Conor Benn is, look, if this is in his system now, it's probably not the first time he's taking it. I'm not basing that on any inside information. I just know that in general, the first time you are caught doing something wrong is most often not the first time you have done something wrong. So while I agree with you in some circumstances, just saying you took drugs, whether you're Rodney Harrison or Andy Pettit or any of these like baseball players or other athletes that have taken drugs, that it's generally worked out for them. But in boxing, it just feels a little bit different.
If it was any other PED, I would think manning up and being honest would actually clear the table. But it was a fertility drug. Men don't take that unless they're trying to do something that, you know, that I don't know much of.
Increased testosterone. That's it.
You know the biggest problem is, sorry to cut across you, Sergio, I think the biggest problem why I don't think people will forgive him if he mans up is because you tried to drain Chris Eubank Jr. down to 157 pounds. So that's one thing. You then tried to install a rehydration clause, which is another thing. And then on top of that, you've now obviously been found guilty for taking a performance-enhancing drug. I mean, is it not enough to drain Chris Eubank Jr.? Is it not enough to put a rehydration clause in? Is that not enough? I mean, this is the sport that we love, but we also, all three of us, understand the dangers of this sport. Is it not enough to do those two things, but then you want to add almost a bit more on top? It's going to be very, very difficult, especially over here in the UK. I don't know what it's like in the States, but over here in the UK, it's very, very difficult. There was a sprinter called Dwayne Chambers that we loved over here. He got caught and he got a 4-year ban. Every time he ran on track after that 4-year ban, he was booed. Like, it never goes away. It didn't go away. Conor Benn is 100 times more famous than that guy because of his name value. It's going to be incredibly difficult to recover from this unless by some miraculous statement or video or something, he explains how it got in his system. And then it's up for us to decide whether or not we believe him or not. But again, the silence.
But Addy, I'm sorry to interrupt. How can a man, a young man, have fertility drugs? I know it boosts his testosterone, but fertility is not for men. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but how does a young man explain fertility in his system?
The only way he can explain, and look, this is not me trying to find an excuse for Conor Benn, but I mean, a lot of people have spoken about the new, and I don't know if you had one, Sergio, but the new strength and conditioners that are now part of the sport of boxing. Before, you was a trainer and then you used to go and do your road work and then train yourself. There's this new clique of strength and conditioning coaches that seem to offer you whatever, like here, take that. And I don't know, sometimes the boxers do their own due diligence as to what they're taking. You almost trust the guys that are with you.
Absolutely. And I've been a part of that, especially at the end of my career. And I wish I could say their names because people will know who I'm talking about. But at the end of my career, those were offered to me. And I just didn't want to risk everything that I accomplished for one or two fights and one or two paydays. But I'm not going to say I didn't think about it, but it's just not worth it, man. And those guys are scumbags. Yeah. You know, they're all intelligent scumbags. They're weasels, and they know how to, use chemistry and hide it and bring it out of your system and all that other stuff. It's not worth it, man. It is not worth it. And if for some reason Conor Benn or some of his team told him that it, maybe rationalized and told him that it was going to get out of the system or maybe say that you can get away with it or whatever, he still shouldn't have done it, man. The only thing a fighter should do is run, train, eat well, drink water, and that's it, man. You don't need to put all this other stuff in your system. For 200 years, man, fighters have been fighting without this, all this science. Why do we need it all of a sudden? Why do we need all this chemistry? It's mano a mano. It's train the best you can, drink your water, take your vitamins. Vitamins, a simple one a day. That's all I took for 20 years. You don't need everything else, man. Everything in boxing is here, and of course,
Yeah.
Yeah, I also think it is insane that so many of these nutritionists and sports scientists are disgraced drug cheats. People like Victor Conti, who was at the center of the Balco Barry Bonds scandal in the late 90s and early 2000s. People like Memo Heredia, who have admitted that he was involved in doping years ago. Like, these people are now nutritionists in boxing. And it's bizarre because the idea they could infiltrate other sports like football or baseball or hockey on a regular basis is just, it's nuts. But here they are in the sport of boxing, which is, as always, the Wild West. Adi, I want to finish with you. What has this done to Conor Benn's reputation in the UK? What was the perception of him before all this, and what is the perception of him now?
Well, we looked at him as that next star before, right? I mean, we understand that we're coming to an end with sort of our heavyweight stars, Tyson Fury, AJ. These are guys that are all into the 30s. And, you know, we're looking for that next guy that can fill stadiums, eventually maybe go to America and cause some problems over there. And he just seemed to have it all. He has the look. In his last few performances, he has the knockout victories. He speaks so well on the mic. And that was it. That was our star, right? We're always looking for, you guys have got Javonte and Ryan Garcia. He's our version of that. Someone that understands the new age of social media. He's got a YouTube channel. He literally ticks every single box in terms of what we want our boxing star to look like. Right now, his name's in the mud. I mean, I can't imagine what he's going through. And look, whether or not I should feel sorry for him is another question, but I can't imagine what he's going through looking on social media right now. People are genuinely angry, and it's the wrong people. And what I mean by that is people that have got a million Twitter followers and they're saying stuff and then everyone's jumping on board. I mean, I work for a radio station called Talk Sport, and they've absolutely destroyed him over here. And it's going to take, it's literally, I almost feel like it's an impossible job to mend it. And I hope it's not, because I don't want his career at, what is he, 25, 26 to be over now. But it's going to take a while for people to forgive him, because we were looking forward to this one. This was our fight. This was almost our Super Bowl event, and it's now done. And it's difficult. You guys imagine over there, your Super Bowl being ended. It's difficult for our Super Bowl to kind of go like this. So people are angry, people disappointed. I want to say people move on quickly, but not from this. They won't move on quickly from this at all. So good luck to his team trying to repair the damage, because it's going to take a while.
Sergio, I'll give you the last word on this. How does Conor Benn move forward? How does he reclaim his reputation? Is it about going into year-round testing? Is it about going into like weekly blood testing, turning into the most transparent athlete when it comes to drug testing in boxing history? How in your mind does he move forward?
I think the last word, Addy, just summed it up perfectly. He summed it up perfectly. My advice, admit what you did. Admit what you did, ask for the public's apology, and just say that you'll do better. We're all human. We all mess up. We all try to get an advantage somehow, some way, but, legally. But in a blood sport, in a dangerous sport, you can't take shortcuts. So you just either got to man up or find another job to do, man, because as Ade so eloquently put it, it's going to be very hard, man. He disappointed a lot of people that put all their faith and trust in him being the next superstar, and he just shot those dreams down, and it dispirits, you know, fans. It takes away, it just leaves a bad taste in their mouth. And then when they see your face or they see your posts or they see your next fight, or they just don't like it anymore. So I would say, man up, admit what you did, say you're human, and move on.
Ade, what does the damage control look like for Conor Benn?
Well, I think they started already, right? I know that obviously he failed the VADA testing, but over here we have UCAD, which is UK anti-doping. Since obviously this VADA test had been failed, and again, we're led to believe it was about a month ago, he's done a lot of UK anti-doping tests and it's come back all negative. So they've already started the damage control. So I think it is a case of year-round sort of random UCAD testing, maybe doing and signing up to VADA again. And that's the only way. Honestly, it's the only way. I mean, Eddie and Callie made sure, sort of making sure that I knew that it had been postponed, this event, as opposed to it being cancelled. So they are looking at putting this event on again very soon. There's no two ways about it. Whether or not the public are going to like it is another thing. But they made sure in their statements, and I think everyone can read their statements online, that this event has been postponed, not cancelled. So I think they're already starting the damage control, full year-round random UCAD testing, and then we move forward. I think it's a bit too soon to do what they're trying to do, but look, these are promoters, and I'm just a guy that works for the broadcaster.
Hey, Ade, in this new age, the event might be postponed or canceled, but his reputation is probably canceled, you know, especially now that social media and everything travels around the world so fast. It's going to be very hard, man, as you put it. Very hard for him to get back.
And that's why, I know time's going, Sky, so apologies, but that's why he needs to release a statement and explain how and why. The longer he waits, Chris, Sergio, the worse it gets. I mean, I'm guilty of that myself sometimes, of just shutting the curtains. This isn't a shutting the curtain moment. This is literally opening the curtain and explaining what happened. If he continues to hide behind statements, then I guess the bigger the problem gets.
Yeah, it's a tough week for boxing. It's a tough week for Conor Benn. It's a tough week for boxing fans who are once again talking about something that doesn't have anything to do with what happens in the ring. And for Conor Benn, I think we all agree he's got a lot of work to do if he's going to reclaim the respect of boxing fans, of his peers, and make people believe that, as he says, he is a clean athlete. Ade Oladipo, broadcaster over in the UK with DAZN. Sergio Mora, former junior middleweight champion, DAZN broadcaster. Fellas, appreciate the time and perspective as always.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
When we come back, my conversation with Chris Algieri.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so the big news this week, of course, Connor Benn testing positive for a banned substance, canceling or postponing, I guess is the more accurate word, his upcoming fight against Chris Eubank Jr. Benn has been a rising prospect for several years now, and he's beat some notable names in that time. One of them, Chris Algieri, former 140-pound champion who lost to Connor Benn last December. And I want to bring in Chris to the show because I'm curious how opponents of Connor Benn are feeling in this moment after the news broke that he tested positive for this banned sub. So Chris, thanks for joining me, man. Let's start there. You know, when you heard about the positive test, what was your reaction?
So, I woke up to it yesterday morning. You know, I've been a full 24 hours or 30 hours past when I first actually heard about it. And honestly, my very first thought was, I'm not surprised. You know, I had heard mutterings when I was getting ready to fight him. I had mutterings around that fight week from people who were in over across the seas. And then I had heard it post, you know, so but I've always give fighters and competitors the benefit of the doubt. If I don't know for sure, then I'm never going to mention that. I'm never going to call anybody out, even if I suspect them or not. But now that it comes to light, you know, it makes you think. And, you know, it sucks. I don't want to think about other fighters that way. I don't want to think about situations that happened in the past, but you know, it's hard not to. It's impossible not to.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at this situation, you said you're not surprised. So you did have concerns about Connor Benn going into your fight.
Absolutely. You know, I know there's a lot of hype around him. I knew he was a young fighter. I knew I was his first big step up fight. And, you know, there's a lot on his shoulders in order to perform, you know, perform the way that he needs to. But I mean, the writing was on the wall. If you look at his body, the way it changed from even the Granados fight to my fight, you know, which are only 4 months apart, you know, the difference was visible. And that's hard to do, you know, in such a short period of time when you've been training at a high level for a while. You know, that's one thing. But again, it's like, you never know. Like, everyone's body's different. But now it just makes you rethink everything that you've thought leading up to it and what you had heard. And I had heard from multiple sources that you know, that he was not a clean fighter. You know, so now, again, this comes to light now, and it just makes you think.
Yeah, and you were stopped in that fight, and it was a scary knockout the way you were knocked out. As you look back on that knockout now, I mean, do you think that, look, I was stopped by a guy that was taking something? Like, how do you feel about that knockout now?
Well, even leading up to the fight, like, I'd never seen anything on video watching him. I'd never seen that kind of power. Never expected that. Wasn't worried about that kind of thing happening. Listen, I'm always worried about a fight. Any punch can end a fight at any time. And whether it was or it wasn't, you know, I wasn't worried about that. I didn't see that kind of power in him. Listen, I've been in the ring with Manny Pacquiao. I've fought Errol Spence. I've been in the ring with Ruslan Provodnikov. You know, really, really scary punchers and the kind of guys who have, you know, done a lot of damage in the ring. And I didn't see that. I didn't think that was even an option. You know, so when it came out of nowhere, I mean, obviously I was surprised. You know, I didn't expect it, but I wasn't expecting that kind of thing even going into the fight. You know, when you sign for a fight, you look at your opponent, you look at how you're going to stand up, you look at the things you need to work on. You know, I've always been an analyst. You know, I analyzed fighters getting ready for my own fights, and now I analyze fighters as a broadcaster. So I know what I'm looking at. I never saw that kind of power, especially one punch shot like that. Even in the fight before with Granados, and Granados is a great chin. He's a super tough guy. I'm literally taking nothing away from him. He didn't show that kind of explosiveness and one punch power at all.
What was the drug testing like for your fight?
We pissed in a cup after the fight.
That was it. So no advanced testing for your fight with Connor Benn.
Nope. No Vada, nothing of that. And listen, I am one of the WBC randomly tested Vada athletes year round. You can test me at any time, but honestly, how often has that really happened? Not much. It's expensive to do. If they just show up where you're at, I mean, it's very, very rare. So, there was no advanced testing other than the general commission peeing a cup.
I know you've worked with Eddie Hearn in the past. He has suggested that the fight should have been allowed to go forward because the UKAD tests did not pop Conor Benn, and they have jurisdiction when it comes to this type of stuff. And it was VADA that popped Benn. How do you feel about that, about the fact that it was VADA, not the UKAD, that nailed him? Does it matter to you?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, if anything, I mean, I think a third party tester who doesn't really matter in terms of if the fight happens or not is probably better. You know, we all use VADA. We all have at the highest level. You know, when I fought Manny Pacquiao, we use VADA. When I fought Ruslan Provodnikov for a world title, we use VADA. So why would VADA not matter now? Hmm. Because the fight's happening over there, like, because you guys don't believe in VADA. Like, what does VADA have to stand to win or gain by turning off such a huge fight or shutting down such a big fight? I don't know. A failed test is a failed test. Drug is a drug. It's you either are or you aren't. It's like being pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. There's no semi-pregnant. So you fail a test, you fail a test.
Yeah, and you know, it says something too that, I mean, if you really can't say that, you know, you're saying the UKAD tests are not as good as VADA's. Like, if VADA was the one that caught him, then the VADA tests are the gold standard, and that's just the way it goes.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the protocols of either testing, you know, organization. But I do understand the way that testing and drugs work, and you know, the guys who are developing these drugs, it's constantly turning over. They're constantly getting better. It's technology. It's just the way it is. And there's a lot more money in making better drugs than there is for making better tests that can figure out those drugs. So you know, one could just be a day ahead of the other. It doesn't mean that one is isn't good or is whatever, but obsolete's obsolete. If you're a day late, you're a month late. It doesn't matter. So, you know, I can't really speak to their protocols, but obviously if one's catching something that is there and one is not, there's an issue.
So what should the punishment be for something like this? It sure sounds like this fight's going to be rescheduled sooner rather than later. It may just be a matter of months, couple of months before we see Chris Eubank and Conor Benn in the ring. If you could sort of be boxing commissioner for a day, what should the punishment be for Conor Benn for something like this?
Minimum a year. Minimum. And honestly, the argument for life is legit, because depending on what you're doing, in terms of what kind of androgens, what kind of PEDs you're taking, what kind of PEDs you're taking, the physiological effect might never go away. You're getting an advantage for life in some instances. The tissue that you develop, the physiological changes that happen are real, and they don't go away because you stop taking them. So again, looking at what the specific drug that you're getting nabbed for should matter. But I don't think people are looking at it that closely. You know, for all intents and purposes, I think this fight's going to get pushed back 3 months, and then they're going to fight again. It's going to be no big deal, because this is boxing. It's the Wild Wild West. We let this kind of stuff happen all the time. And this is why a lot of people question boxing, and why, you know, there's always the question mark and always the black eye of boxing. But yeah, no, if you really look at it physiologically from a sports physiology and sports medicine and sports science standpoint, life bans are legitimate.
You know what surprises me, Chris, is that, you know, Conor Benn and his team have known about this test for weeks now. They had to know, or had to at least think at some point this was going to go public. And as we record this, there still has not been any kind of excuse floated. No herbal tea excuse, no laced meat, no supplement that was tainted by this fertility drug. And that to me just tells me they don't have one. Like, they don't have anything that anyone would buy in the public, which is a big problem. Like, Conor Benn's out there on social media saying, I'm a clean athlete. Well, in my mind, explain how this got in your system then. Give me something I'll believe, because you've had weeks and come up with nothing.
Yeah, well, in terms of the excuse, there won't be one, because it's lied till you die. There's no reason for them to come out and say, oh, you know, like, we didn't this, that, we messed up, this never gonna happen again. No, they're not gonna do that. They're gonna deny it. you know, because there's no upside in saying that you tried to do it and you got caught. Saying you made a mistake and then got caught. Yeah, there, you know, there's people in the public could potentially be like, oh, well, you know, tainted meat. It's okay. You know, he didn't mean to do it. It happened. But I don't believe any of that. You know, I don't believe in any of that. As a professional athlete, a high level guy, someone who has a team around them who's looking after everything you're doing. And Connor's not a dumb guy. He knows exactly the stakes of what's going on. And he's very, I have talked to him about this personally prior to us fighting, about how much he's aware of his nutrition and his body. These kind of surprises, especially for the drug that he popped for, there's no excuse. And that's why there will not be one.
You were gracious in defeat after your fight with Conor Benn. You guys shared a moment in the ring that was captured on camera. I'm sure you talked after that. How do you feel about Conor Benn now in the wake of this test?
I predicted Conor Benn to win this fight. I've been saying that. I thought he was going to go out there. I was rooting for the underdog. I wanted him to win. That's all gone now. Listen, whether he was or he wasn't when he fought me, we'll never know. That will never come to light. The question will always be there, but it will never be known, yes or no. But at the end of the day, I don't like cheaters, especially in this sport. And that means a lot to me. This sport means everything to me. So anyone who's willing to put the lives of their opponents on the line that way, I can't respect that.
Do you think there's any he's going to continue with his career, right? Like, this fight might only be pushed a couple of months. And we have seen guys, whether it's Jean Pascal, Jarrell Miller. I mean, you even go back to the Klitschko's. I mean, Vladimir Klitschko in the Olympics back in the day. Like, guys get past this. Is this the kind of thing you expect Conor Benn to be able to get past? And if you were advising him, not that you'd want to, on how to get past this, like, what would you say to him in terms of moving his career forward?
Listen, he's young and he has a long life and career ahead of him. But a lot of it's going to depend on what he does in his career, because listen, winners win and winners get away with a lot. Money talks in this sport. If you can keep winning, if you can keep being the man, if he ends up fighting Eubank and he wins, and then he wins another big fight, and then he becomes this kind of champion, that kind of champion, these things will fall to the wayside. Back. But if there's any hiccup along the way, this will never be forgotten. So unfortunately, I am being as candid as possible. It's unfortunate the way that this sport is, but that is the truth. Winners win and the money talks.
Yeah, always does. Chris, I appreciate your time, man. I know this must have been on your mind right away when this immediately popped up. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah. Anytime, Maddox. I always appreciate the time.
And when we come back, undisputed lightweight champion Devin Haney.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Devin Haney is the undisputed 135-pound champion. He is back in Australia, where on October 15th, he will defend his titles against George Kambosos Jr. in a rematch of the fight where Devin won his belts. Devin, kind enough to join me from Australia, where he's eating right now. So apparently weight's not an issue at the moment for you, Devin.
No, weight is not an issue. I'm ready to go.
So I want to get into your fight and being back in Australia, but obviously the big news this week is Conor Benn testing positive for a banned substance. That fight against Chris Eubank Jr. now postponed for the foreseeable future. You're an athlete that takes your drug testing very seriously. You've been enrolled in VADA for some time now. What was your reaction when you first heard that Conor Benn had tested positive?
I knew when I seen that it was a fertility. It was like something for fertility. I knew that it was, to boost his testosterone. So we all know that, I'm close with Victor Conti and Snack. So that's when I hit Victor. I asked him, was it intentional or was it, what do you think it was? And he said it was 100% intentional. And I do feel like, he was cheating, but I mean, it is what it is. What can we do? I mean, this is boxing, happens in all sports, but he just got caught.
You mentioned what can we do. What should boxing do? What should happen to a fighter that tests positive? I mean, I was talking to Chris Algieri before you came on, and look, Chris was understandably upset. Like, he got knocked out by Conor Benn in December of 2021. What should the punishment be in your mind for fighters that test positive?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the board. I'm not the commission. I can't really say, but I don't respect it. I don't think that it's fair, especially because, the brain isn't, made to be punched. It isn't made to be hit. So, we go in and we put our lives on the line. The least you could do is, we put it on a, fair playing field, mano to mano. I don't know. I just don't respect cheating in the sport of boxing at all. I don't respect cheating at all, but in basketball, football, baseball, it's different. You hit a home run, it's no harm to nobody. You tackle somebody, it's not as bad. But when you punch somebody in the head, it gets serious.
Would you, at this point in your career, would you ever fight anybody that wouldn't be enrolled in advanced testing?
No, of course not. I take the testing serious. As many times I have, put my own money up for the testing to make sure that it was done when the promoters wouldn't do it. It's no way, because I know that cheating does happen and it can happen. And just to protect myself, I want to just be fighting on a fair playing field.
Yeah, that's the one sport where it should be taken deathly seriously as it ever is in any other sport. All right, let's talk about your fight. October 15th, you're back in Australia. You are now becoming like a resident down there after two trips in the last 6 months. How do you feel about being back in Australia preparing for this rematch?
I feel great. Mentally, physically, I got my full team with me. I came here already, so I knew what to expect. I just can't wait. I'm excited for the fight.
You spent some time in the previous months, Devin, in interviews saying it wasn't a sure thing that you'd be back in Australia. It wasn't a sure thing that you'd be facing Kambosos in this rematch. Kind of take me inside your thinking over the last few months. Like, what were you kind of contemplating doing, and what was it that got you back to Australia?
I mean, truthfully, I wanted more money. I mean, that was it. That was it. I just wanted more money. That was the only thing.
So you knew all along you'd be back.
Yeah, but I just wanted more money.
I respect that. Did you get more money?
No.
I mean, that contract was pretty ironclad, right? Like, that was a tough contract to get some wiggle room in.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, although I would say I have heard some of the numbers floated around for your purse for this fight. It sounds like you're getting a pretty good payday for this fight.
Yeah, but it's never too much.
I respect
the box. You always got to ask for more. You got it's just you never take the first offer. You got to ask for more.
You're damn right. In any profession, you never take the first offer. So as you prepare for this fight, what are you expecting from Kambosos? Are you expecting some kind of big adjustment? Do you think he's capable of a big adjustment? What's kind of your expectation?
I mean, it's no secret what he's going to bring to the table. We all know that he's going to, you know, try to be more aggressive, you know, try to make the fight dirty and, you know, rugged as possible. I mean, it's no secret.
You boxed brilliantly in that first fight, made it look easy. I mean, did that first fight go as you expected it to go?
I wouldn't say necessarily went completely as expected. I knew that I would handicap him of his best attributes. And, you know, that's how the fight happened. That's how that fight played out with me handicapping him. But, you know, this fight, I would handicap him, but it would be a little different.
In what ways would it be different?
You just got to see. You got to tune in on the 15th. I will show.
Ever the salesman. You know, you were motivated to get those titles. You wanted to be undisputed champion so badly. Have you had the same motivation during this training camp? Has anything been different about this camp?
Yeah, I mean, the motivation, obviously, it's not, as much as, the first fight. You know, he hasn't given me, much motivation. Obviously, he's gone quiet and he's just, nowhere to be found. But that's all part of his, strategy or whatever the case may be. But it is what it is. At the end of the day, this is history. This is, putting me, closer to being one of the greats of the sport. So, when someone doesn't give you the motivation that you're looking for, you get it somewhere else, you thrive. Or somehow, and that's how the greats do it. So, it is what it is.
Now, what do you make of that? Him going quiet the way he has. We haven't heard anything from George really in months, besides some social media posts. He talked a lot of shit in the build up to the first fight. What do you make of him kind of going quiet?
Yeah, he talked a lot of shit. He got some humble pie. So now, he's gone quiet, and he's seen that the shit talking, wasn't really him. It wasn't really. He couldn't back it up. So now he's going quiet. I mean, what can you think about it? I mean, I don't really know what to really say or think about it.
It's boxing, so everybody talks about the future, and people look at your future, whether it's Lomachenko, Shakur Stevenson, massive fights in 2023 that you could potentially have at 135. Is there any danger for you in overlooking George Kambosos in this fight?
100%. I will not overlook, George Kambosos. I will not, look past him. He is a live body. He was the guy with the belts the fight before this. So, my 100% focus is on him. And without beating him, I don't get those big fights. So my main focus is beating him. And then we'll talk about, what's next.
I know how hard it was for you to leave Eddie Hearn to kind of go out on your own here in a way, work with Top Rank, work with Lou DiBella, but you wanted this opportunity. And now it seems like, Devin, you're on the cusp of getting everything you wanted. You're not only getting all the titles, but you've got the chance to have those mega fights that you've been calling for years. I mean, does it feel that way? Does it feel like this is the time you're kind of finally getting everything you wanted?
Yeah, it was destined. Everything, is falling into my hands. But, I thank God for it. I thank Allah for it. I've been working so hard, sacrificing for so long and, not getting the fights that I wanted. But now it's finally time, and I'm excited for it.
All right, last question for you. I was watching with amusement as you and the folks over at Ring Magazine were going back and forth about your place in the pound-for-pound ranking. So I'll ask you this. Where does Devin Haney think Devin Haney belongs on the pound-for-pound list?
You didn't have me in the pound-for-pound rankings either.
I did not. I'll tell you why, but I want to hear where you think you belong in that list.
I don't know. I can't say exactly, but I definitely deserve to be on the list. I definitely deserve to be on the list. But why you didn't have me on your list?
Well, it's I don't look at titles when I make that list ever. Like, it's just like I always look at resume. That's why I have Canelo still higher than most people do. It's why I have Usyk higher than most people do. You are unquestionably a pound for pound talent. And by this time next year, I think you can make the argument you should be number one in the pound for pound rankings. Because I'm assuming you, if you beat Kambosos, if you beat Lomachenko, if you beat Shakur Stevenson, that is a number one guy type of resume. At the very least, a top five. So the only reason I don't have you in the top 10 is resume.
I'm 23 years old, undisputed. Just beat the man who beat the man who beat the man who you had on your fucking list. You had Loma on your list, right?
I do. But that, again, that's resume.
But he lost. So losses don't matter. Yeah, but resume. So, losses don't matter. You just say, okay, he could fight 10 people. If he loses five, then it doesn't matter because he beat five of those, the top guys.
Well, no, not five, but like Canelo's got two losses, but they were two elite guys. So I'm not going to penalize him that much for it. There aren't a lot of guys with losses.
But Canelo lost to Floyd. Did Floyd lose after? Canelo lost to Bivol. Did Bivol lose after? No. Loma lost
not
to
yet.
Tio. Okay, but you're projecting. You're trying to project some shit. Did Tio? He lost to Tio. Tio lost to Kambosos. Kambosos lost to me.
Right. Look, I get your logic there.
2+2=4. 4+4=8.
But Loma's resume at 126, 130, and 135 put him on that list to me. Like,
okay,
your
list will consist of a do what he did 3 years ago rather than what he's doing today.
But I still think he's that guy from 3 years ago. And like, if
you
get through
he's
these
that
next
guy.
Couple of fights,
you
you'll
think,
have a better resume. I think it's a subjective list.
You think that he's that guy.
Yes.
You don't know. You don't know if he's that guy.
If he looks like shit against Jermaine Ortiz, I'll take him off the list. Like, if he looks bad in that fight, like, that will be
he
the
looked,
most recent
like
example
against,
of him fighting.
He looked like shit against Teofimo. Say his shoulder was broken.
No, I never said that. I never give him that out. I don't give him that kind of out. He didn't look good in that fight, but he's had... Look, you're going to get... It's inevitable that you're on that list. It's just, you just started to get the medium-level fights with Eddie when you had Linares and you had JoJo. Those were good fights. Now you beat Kambosos. That's a better win. And the next year, you got everything. If you're not on the list next year in the top five, I'll be shocked because you'll go into those fights as a favorite or 50-50 against both guys.
All right.
We'll never agree. But I always love watching you, man. You're a great fighter.
No, we agree.
I want to see
you. I agree. I will be number one on the list.
I believe that. All right, Devin, good luck on October 15th, man. We'll be watching on ESPN rematch with George Kambosos Jr. Going to be a lot of fun, man. Good luck.
Thank you, Chris. Always good talking to you.
And when we come back, this week's picks brought to you by FanDuel. Football season is underway, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with the promo code BOXING. I have been gambling with FanDuel for some time now. I'm based part-time in New York, which is now a great state to bet with online gambling. Massachusetts, where I'm also based. Gambling's coming that way as well. So I do some boxing betting in New York. And when it gets to Massachusetts, let's make some football bets. Because I love to bet on the Patriots, especially when Mac Jones gets back on the field. FanDuel has tons of betting options for each game. You can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. With live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started. And with FanDuel's new live SGPs, you can create one even after kickoff. The app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Get paid your winnings fast. So sign up today with promo code BOXING
for your first no-sweat first bet. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Time now for this week's picks brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. No Ben Eubank Jr. fight this weekend, but there is a pretty good one on Saturday on Showtime. Sebastian Fundura, the huge junior middleweight contender, 6'6", 154-pounder. He is the interim champion at 154. He's going to take on Carlos Ocampo in Southern California. Now, Fundura comes into this fight as a huge favorite, minus 1,300 according to FanDuel. I think that's a safe bet if you want to park some money there. Fundura is really coming into his own over the last couple of years. He's coming off his best win to date, a just brutal beating of Erickson Lubin. So I think he's peaking right now as a fighter, or at least getting close to it. Ocampo, solid, but I don't give him much of a chance at winning this fight. If you want to try to win a little bit of money, you bet on the method of victory here. Sebastian Fundura by KO or TKO is at minus 220. Again, not great odds, but Fundura, if you watch him of late, he is really growing into his power. He is determined going into fights to make them entertaining. He is looking for knockouts. I think he's going to get one against Carlos Ocampo. So take Sebastian Fundura to win. That was the easy one. Take him to win by knockout. That's the one you have a chance to win some money for. Those are my picks brought to you by FanDuel. That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Sergio Mora, Ade Oladipo, Chris Algieri, and Devin Haney for joining the show. As always, subscribe, rate, review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you download podcasts. And I'll see you next week.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.